When the first temple is destroyed, the Jews went off into exile and remained there for 70 years. But we came back, not all of us. Some of us, and we built a new temple. And that lasted for hundreds of years, and that temple was destroyed. And I think anybody at that time who was alive, if they then would have predicted, so how long will this exile be? They probably would have looked at the first one and said, well, probably around 70 years. And in fact, 70 years later, we find something really interesting. We find a rebellion, the Bar Kokhba rebellion, and we find the Jews trying to take back the land of Israel, and it doesn't work. Which means sometimes when we try to look at models and try to predict what's going to be, and we have information in front of us that we can draw conclusions, it's not always going to be that God is going to obey our conclusions. And the years go on, the 70 become 700, and the 700 become 2,000. And perhaps others would have said, well, returning the first time was a fluke and it's never going to happen again. But in fact, we did come back. Which means who could predict history? God controls history. God makes the macro decisions. God decides when we leave and God decides when we come back. And there's so many elements that we could not possibly have predicted. And we live in a time right now where there are so many elements that we couldn't have, no one could have predicted. You know, there was this young woman, a girl, who months ago was telling people how too much electricity is being used. And I won't go into, is she right or is she wrong? But among the things that were articulated, we need to stop all the planes. Who would have imagined that that's what happened? That 90% of the air travel stopped. Who would have imagined that there could have been this kind of lack of human activity in terms of work? A virus came in and completely changed things. There are so many things about our lives that we just can't predict. Again, our part is we need to live morally. Our part is we need to live ethically. Our part is we need to take care of the disenfranchised. Which means there's certain things which are very simple. And there's certain things which we cannot possibly have predicted. And here we are, thousands of years after the destruction of the temple, still mourning for Jerusalem, which is a Jerusalem which is bigger than it has ever been. We're still mourning for Jerusalem, which is so much bigger than it's ever been. But there are elements of our national identity which are still missing. And to be honest, some people don't completely connect to a temple, sacrifices, offerings. On the other hand, if you think about it, having a Supreme Court, having a situation where it isn't just every Jew does whatever it is that they imagine is right, having a moral base, having a type of a leadership which is unified, we've come so far. Literally. We've come so far, chronologically. We're not quite there yet. And those of us who imagine that everything was so perfect a couple of months ago, things are so unstable right now. A reminder that the Shechina is still in Galut. We hope it's making its way back. We hope that God will be manifest in so many ways. For those who have questioned, do we still need to fast on Tisha B'Av? It seems that the answer is yes. There's many reasons that we should be apprehensive right now. There are many reasons that there's fear right now, be it economically, be it physically, spiritually. Our synagogues that we thought had replaced the temple, for many of us, have been locked. We still need a Tisha B'Av. The world's not perfect. The world hasn't been perfected. But we really hope that we're really on the cusp of something which is so much greater. But till that point, we still do have reason to fast.